Hello and welcome to the MIT Press podcast. Today, we're featuring an episode from Between Art and Science, a new podcast from Leonardo. Published by the MIT Press, Leonardo is the leading international peer-reviewed journal on the use of contemporary science and technology in the arts and music, and the application and influence of the arts and humanities on science and technology. This episode, hosted by Erica Ruby, features a conversation between two authors published in the Leonardo special issue, Cosmos and Chaos, Bettina Forge and Lindy Elkins-Tanton. Listen as these authors discuss the connections between art and science, the flawed idea of the hero, exploration of both land and space, and the complexities of being a woman in a male-dominated field.
So we are going to introduce Bettina Forge and Lindy Elkins-Tanton. Bettina Forge's contribution to the special issue is Women with Impact, Taking One Small Step into the Universe. Bettina Forge is an artist, educator, and researcher. She is the director of the SETIs Institute Artist in Residence Program in Mountain View, California, and director of the Visual Voice Gallery in Montreal, Canada. Lindy Elkins-Tanton wrote, "The frozen, darkened soul rises into space, travels in Siberia, and the plight of life on Earth," which is the end note to our special issue. Lindy is the principal investigator of the NASA Psyche mission, the managing director of the Interplanetary Initiative at Arizona State University, and co-founder of Beagle Learning, a tech company providing training in and measuring collaborative problem solving and critical thinking. Welcome, Lindy and Bettina.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. And thank you for including me in this phenomenal panel. My head is buzzing with all these ideas and thoughts that we've already discussed in this time here. And thank you for pairing me with Lindy. When I first saw what she does, I thought, scientists, I have an art background, like, how's it going to work? But we have so many connection points between our two articles. That was really fascinating. And we've been chatting like crazy on the side here, which you can't see, but we'll talk about. And Lindy, I really loved your article. I enjoyed reading it. I mean, just the title, like the frozen, darkened soul, like, right, it's just so poetic. And you allude to the importance of connecting art and science, and your writing is already art. I was reminded of Alexander von Humboldt, who did these really evocative narratives of his travels to faraway places that seemed very foreign and otherworldly at his time. And he learned from Goethe to really color his narrative with more than scientific fact. And I found that your article does very much that. You speak
so
of your...
kind. I might just faint right now to be compared with Alexander von Humboldt. He would be such a hero.
Yeah, I think to both of us, right? Because he also grew a lot from the arts. So does your writing.
I was so thrilled when we were paired, because when I read your article, I saw so much art and so much science together. And I really deflect the notion that art and science are really disparate things. They're just ways that all of us humans try to apprehend our world.
Yes, I think these are such artificial boundaries that also restrict us and the world, the sort of view that we have of ourselves and our capabilities and the capabilities of others. So what we really, really need to do is to sort of follow our own North Star, our own passions, which you really do. I loved how you described your field work, being in Siberia, the experience of you and the landscape. And there's this quote that I picked out, like you described the vast wilderness left felt too big to fit into the earth I knew. It's just that was just so lovely. So I'd like you to talk about what it was like for you to be doing field work also as a woman, like in Russia, as your narrative is really like in this adventure story. But you also offer critique about the impact that you have as a researcher in the landscape and the impact of your research on like environment and indigenous people. So can you elaborate a bit on that?
Thank you so much. It's a lovely introduction. And so indeed, we had a very large project that involved there were about 30 scientists from 8 different countries. And most of the fieldwork happened in Russia. And my particular part of the project, we had 5 field seasons in central Siberia, everywhere from down in the south, not too far from Lake Baikal, in Ust-Ilimsk on the Angara River, and then in central Siberia near Tura on the Nizhnaya Tunguska River, and then in the far north, both near Norilsk and then also by a small town called Hanga on an inlet to the Arctic Ocean. And in these different explorations, I was out in the field with usually a group of 4 or 5 people, sometimes an American graduate student with me, but mostly with my Russian colleagues. And it was astonishing to see from the helicopters, we'd get dropped by helicopter out on these rivers, and then we'd spend several weeks in boats or hiking by ourselves, hundreds and hundreds of kilometers from anyone. And to see the size of Siberia, even for someone who lives now in the American Southwest, and I can be in a plane and look over the deserts of the western part of North America, Siberia is so gigantic. And to see it is almost to see an ocean, only it's a land. And the beauty of it is breathtaking. And so when we are in the little towns, that's when I would understand the human connection with this vastness. One part of what I experienced that you and I have been chatting about is what it is to be a woman leader in science, particularly in exploration. I think of all the parts of human endeavor, exploration is one of the hardest places for women to find a foothold. It's really thought to be the world of the male hero. And so I would be in these tiny towns and we would go to the little tiny grocery stores, and I had, a year of intensive Russian, and I could say Zdravstvuyte and Ochen Priyadna. And I would have little conversations with the women working in the stores. And they would always, as soon as the men went away, they would bring out the berry liqueur that they had made from the previous year and give us little drinks. And we would drink to each other's health and immediately become best friends. And we would learn how many children we each had and where we lived. And then they would always tell me that geology is no work for a woman and that I should go home and be with my husband and my son right away. And I would just leave them shaking their heads. And I would think, what gender am I? You know, I'm not a Russian woman. I'm not a Russian man. I'm not an American man. You know, what am I doing? I would feel so alienated from all the different parts of where I was. And then we would see the indigenous peoples, the Evenks and the other people who had lived in central Siberia, now increasingly displaced. And all these things together made me think more and more about what we all know, which is that exploration is the devastation and suffering of indigenous peoples. And that exploration has always been for the financial betterment of mainly the wealthy men of the community. And so I really see space exploration as a way for us to do it right, a way for us to be the society that we know we can be and to become that inspiration for creating things better on Earth. And so I was so excited about your art project and the fact that you look at the moon with the beautiful telescope that I see behind you over your shoulder. And you look at the moon and you see the craters. Now, imagine how exciting it was for me to read this paper, knowing something that Bettina did not know, which is that I've spent about half of my career studying the geology of the moon and studying the craters on the moon. And so I'm so familiar with the beautiful things that you've been staring at. And I've been so struck over and over again by how many men there are named. You know, you go to Venus, it's named after women. Everything else in the solar system is named after men. And thinking about what our position is in this place. And then you created this art project where we could put on the bottom of our boots the impressions of craters. And as we walked, we could make our own craters here on Earth. And I thought that was so beautiful and evocative. And so I'm so interested to hear you talk about not just the materials, because when we create our craters with our boots, they're transient. They're in the sand at the seashore. They're going to come and go. The craters on the moon are made of rock and hardened lava, and they will be there for the age of the solar system. And the dichotomy of this, which I believe is driven by the hero model, which brings us back to exploration. If our hero is the one man who is the astronaut who could do the thing, that is actually not creating inclusion, it's creating a barrier. And so what is the prevalence of the posture of the hero, the singular expert, the leader filled with confidence and assertion in your field? And what is the relative importance of raising others up as opposed to raising oneself up, which is what I mainly see in academia and in exploration? And I think that your gorgeous work addresses all of that. I would love to hear you talk about it.
Oh, thank you. That's a really great question, because we had that hero story both in the arts and in science, you know, like the Einstein genius single-handedly will fill a whole blackboard with like these fantastic equations. That's a trope. But on the other hand, we have people like Jackson Pollock, genius, swirled some art around, best artist in North America. So, you know, obviously, and these are sort of these male hero types, and that is echoed in how we mark places as well. My inspiration for the Woman with Impact series was because only like less than 2% of all moon craters are named after women. And it's important how we name things on Earth, how we, Lucy Lippert says, like our cities, our mirrors. And I find that this idea of the hero story is so inaccurate, both in art and science. Actually, science is very collaborative. And it's always teams, and all, even in the arts, especially now in contemporary practice, it's so collaborative. It's cross-disciplinary, transdisciplinary, interdisciplinary. We work as collaborators. Like everybody here who talk was sort of alluding to the fact that we're sort of inspired by and working with other people. And I think that is a much more accurate and healthy way to approach it as a network of individuals embedded in a network that is our world, our environment. We know that we're one species of many. I think the sort of rhizome approach to life and us leads to more creativity and breakthroughs than this. So we talked about boundaries. The individual as a boundary is a problem. You know, this, we need to open that up. And of course, the power dynamics and hierarchies that implied through that hero model is that it is a male hero, and women can or have a really hard time breaking into the STEM field, breaking into sciences, because you're always being the other who breaks in. When we're looking at female achievements, even in the arts, it's always, oh, women, they just work very hard, don't they? They're just so meticulous. And this is why they're doing, making nice things. And the men are just, you know, they wake up in the morning and then they just write a novel. That's just how that
They're
happens.
Just geniuses.
Inborn geniuses. And I think art and what we're doing and what you're doing can really help break that, especially by breaking the art and science boundaries. I think we're breaking the associated gender stereotypes. And that is a sort of central part of also of my work. And something that you alluded to in your article as well, the idea that art can actually help us to be better humans on this planet. And I would love to find out more about the Psyche-inspired project that you have instigated, where you're bringing artists in to work on the Psyche mission and the perspective that you're taking on this.
I know we don't have time to talk about that. Unfortunately, it's the end, although I would love to. I could invite everyone to look at our website, psyche.asu.edu, and see what NASA has funded us to do with artists. And thank you for making that a possibility that I could mention.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the MIT Press podcast. We are proud to publish Leonardo as an MIT Press journal. To listen to more episodes of Between Art and Science, visit leonardo.info/podcast.